Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
Our next guest says the construction of office towers and suburban office parks in America has not made a significant comeback in the current economic recovery. And that's a big deal, since new office construction historically has gone along with upticks in the economy.
And that's raising new questions about how economic progress is measured, as well as how Americans use office space these days.
Joining us now is Joel Kotkin. He's a fellow at Chapman University and a regular columnist at Forbes.com. We've got a link to his piece, American Cities May Have Hit Peak Office, on the Central Time Facebook page. Joel, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So as I just mentioned, office construction, it's been an indicator, even a symbol of economic recovery and prosperity. In the past, how important, how big a deal was it?
Well, you know, you could read the history of 20th century American cities by the tall office buildings. The more prosperous the city, the more jobs that were there, the taller and in many ways, often more magnificent, sometimes not so. The office towers, I mean, when you went, you know, you could sort of judge an economy by its skyline, and that is not the case anymore. Very, very little new office space is being built, maybe as little as a tenth of what we had in previous recoveries. We're just using less office space, and we're really finding other ways to put people to work without necessarily putting them in a cubicle, and certainly not adding a secretary.
I want to get into those in a minute, but here's an alternate hypothesis. If this has really been an economic indicator, if office buildings aren't coming back, is it a sign that the economic recovery isn't as strong as we might think it is?
Well, that's certainly one of the factors. I mean, the weak recovery certainly doesn't help anything, and particularly a recovery where, you know, the vast majority of the jobs have been, you know, very low-end service work. I mean, if you're getting a job in fast food or delivery, you're probably not an office user. So, I mean, certainly that's been part of it. But even during the relatively buoyant, looking back on it, early part of the last decade, there wasn't a lot of office space being built then either. And really, as I've tracked this, it's really been really for 20 years now that certainly downtown office space has not been added in appreciable numbers. And in this recovery, even the suburban office space, although growing a little bit faster, is also pretty anemic as well.
So as opposed to building new office space, are companies just trying to make do with what they've got?
Well, I think that's exactly what they're doing. And they're also realizing that they just don't need as much space. You know, you now have, in many ways, computers replacing large numbers of the support staff that used to fill these companies. There's a lot less middle management, and they used to be a good part of this. And I think that also in some cases, in firms like IBM, for instance, they're finding that they don't really need office space. People are on the road. They work from where the client is. And so sometimes they have what they call hoteling, you know, where there's space that's available if you want it, but you don't have your own office per se. And I think this is going to become even more common as the younger generation, which is much more technically adept, moves into first the workforce and then into management.
Are we also seeing a rise in telecommuting? Back in the 90s, we heard how this was the wave of the future. Has that come to fruition?
Well, it's certainly happening. There's no question telecommuting is growing much faster than any other way of going to work, and continues to grow. Actually, in most American metropolitan areas, there are many more telecommuters, for instance, than there are transit riders. So this is happening. It's happening pretty steadily, and over the last decade grew much faster than any other mode of transportation. And I think it will continue to grow, particularly now with the mobile devices. And again, the young generation, my students, one of them once said to me, why should I spend an hour going from one computer screen to another?
So is this a change in the way we think of office work now? Is there some kind of fundamental shift going on here?
Well, I think that basically people look at the office as something that you may need for certain functions, but you don't need for others. And it's not a given in the way that it once was. And even in companies that like in technology, they just use less office space. I was just looking up some numbers. San Francisco, for instance, in terms of tech occupied space, was 34,000 people. There was 11.1 million square feet being used in 2000. That employment went down to 18,000. Of course, the office space went down. But even as the office space for tech in San Francisco has not really recovered, even though the employment now has come back, and it's still about half of what it was in 2000. So certainly companies, and particularly tech companies in particular, are just learning how to do with less.
Are there places around the country that are not following this trend, that we are seeing new office, either downtown office buildings or suburban office parks still springing up?
Well, there are certainly some places that are doing better than others. Certainly the strongest one is Houston. Oddly enough, the some of the biggest construction, both in terms of downtowns and even more so in suburban office parks, are energy companies, because they actually have a lot of workers and are fairly vertically integrated and have been hiring and can afford to do it. There's this huge campus being built on the periphery of Houston by Exxon. But there's also an office building being built in downtown Houston. I think what you're seeing is Houston, San Francisco, there are plans. We'll see whether or not they ever get built for more office space. I think it's kind of the sort of frothy environment we're in. There's some office construction in the Boston area. Again, most American cities, not very much. I would say Houston and then New York, where a lot of it, of course, is the Freedom Tower replacing the old World Trade Center. What's interesting to me is, whereas most of the new space in Houston and the little bit of new space being built in Silicon Valley are pre-leased, a lot of the space going up in New York and in San Francisco is not pre-leased. And I certainly would consider that to be kind of a scary thing.
Is this a trend that's going to stick around now? This isn't just a glitch, you don't think? This is a wave of the future?
Well, I would say not only is the wave of the future, but it's sort of the wave of the immediate past. I mean, we now have really 20 years with only minimal high-rise office construction. Now, what has happened is there are many more high-rise towers. So when you drive around American cities, you'll see tall buildings, but most of them these days are more likely to be residential. Downtowns in particular are just they're morphing from really the dominant business centers of their regions to kind of a lifestyle, an alternative, one of the centers you can live in or near. But it's nothing like what it was in the heyday of, let's say, the 1950s and 60s, when huge amounts of office space were being built. I mean, as a young boy growing up in New York, I remember watching 6th Avenue, which to those of you who are not from New York, is known as Avenue of the Americas, when one giant tower after another was being built. There's nothing quite like that today, and I don't think there'll be much like it in the future. As much as, you know, some people would like to see it, I think it's going to be very, very tough.
How does this change the character of a city that this transition is going on?
Well, in some ways, I think it's an opportunity to humanize the city, and particularly the inner core. Maybe inner cores are best suited to, as H.G. Wells predicted 100 years ago, for concourse and rendezvous. They're places where we go to hang out. Maybe this is where your art museum is. This is where your stadium is, where your convention center is, where maybe, you know, your iconic banks, law firms, government centers are. But it is no longer the employment center. In most American cities, the downtowns are less than 10% of employment. In some areas, like L.A., they're under 3%. So I think that you're just going to see an evolution of how cities work and how companies fit into the cities. And interestingly enough, I think when you look at the, let's say, tech or the creative sector, if you want to get into that, they are generally not people who like high-rise office buildings. They tend to look into, like, parts of lower Manhattan or areas that are or parts of San Francisco that are not your traditional downtown environments, because they're a little funkier and the architecture is a little more interesting and there's more mixed use. I mean, it's infinitely more pleasant, for instance, to work on, let's say, Hudson Street in New York than it is to be in Midtown Manhattan. And
nope.
For the more creative types and for, you know, smaller businesses, these are better environments.
Now, the consequence for the economy here, when somebody builds a new building, somebody's got to build that building and somebody's got to manufacture the equipment it takes to build that building. Is there a trickle-down effect if we're not seeing these big buildings going up in other trades?
Well, I mean, certainly it could have an effect, but I would argue that you also have, because the population's still growing, opportunities to build all sorts of housing, everything from suburban single-family to high-rise residential. And that's where you're going to see it. You're also going to see a lot of increases in construction for medical buildings as we have an aging population. So, I mean, there will still be opportunities for building. And frankly, we're in the midst of what could be a very serious housing shortage in much of the country. So there's opportunities for building. It's just the office space, particularly the high-rise office space, and even to some extent the suburban office park, is not going to be so much in demand, and we ought to get used to it.
If the office spaces aren't a big economic indicator anymore, what do we look to for a sign of prosperity of a thriving community?
Employment is key. Income growth is key. Obviously things like retail sales will tell you something. But I think you're looking more as the economy as it affects the individual. And the individual company, as opposed to, you know, how tall a building. You know, it's interesting. Today, the tall buildings in the world are not even in the United States. They're in China and they're in the Middle East, and because some of them aren't doing so great either. But the era of the high-rise office building and the ever taller office building is really past us in the United States. There may be again the occasional building that gets built. But I think increasingly, you're just not going to see as much of that. And that places are going to have to measure their prosperity by the prosperity of their people, as opposed to how many floors the tallest building has.
We'll watch the bottom line instead of the skyline. Joel, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. That was a very good line. Thank you.
I just came up with it. That was Joel Kotkin. He's a fellow at Chapman University, regular columnist at Forbes.com.
I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.